Our scripture reading this morning is Matthew 7, 7 through 12. Matthew 7, 7 through 12. This is a message on praying that we would grow in the character of Christ. God calls us to pray about many things, but God's not a glorious bellhop to give us whatever we want. We are to pray for that which God desires. And what God desires is for us to grow in Christ-like character, and we are to pray that God would do that, and God will always answer that prayer. Because that's why Jesus came, to secure for us not only salvation, but sanctification, growth in Christ-like character. So when we think of Colossians 3, 12 through 17, forgiveness and meekness and patience, that while the passage in Colossians 3 does not mention prayer, bathing all the New Testament is that we grow in Christ-like character as we give ourselves to God in prayer. Before we read the scripture, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us wonderful words of life in this passage. And we pray that as we read this passage and as we hear it proclaimed, that our wills would be submitted to your will, that you would strengthen and encourage our prayer life. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake, a serpent. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Now let me begin with a question. What does prayer to Almighty God mean to you? And how important is prayer to you in growing in Christ-like character? What kind of place does prayer occupy in your life in praying that your brothers and sisters in Christ would grow in Christ-like character? Now, prayer is not a way of getting God to do what we want. And prayer is not a way of persuading God to do what he doesn't want to do. Prayer are bold requests based on the promises of God in his word. Prayer is surrendering our wills to the will of God. When I think of prayer, I think of a simple illustration, and that is when I would go fishing with my father, and we would take a rowboat out on a pretty big lake, and we'd come back. So you have to untie the boat from the dock. But then, what did we do when we came back? Did we pull the dock to ourselves? Absolutely not. You can't pull a dock to yourself in a rowboat. We tied the rope, right, as we came closer to shore so that the boat is going nearer to anchor at the dock. prayer is drawing near to God, surrendering our wills to His will, because His will is always perfect and good and acceptable. Now, there are two ways to approach the Sermon on the Mount. One way is, look, the Sermon on the Mount is a list of commands that I must do to climb the ladder into a relationship with God. So I will try to love other people, even my enemy, and in that way I'll make God indebted to me. He'll have to accept me. Or I'll try and be perfect. Jesus says, be perfect in the Sermon on the Mount as your Heavenly Father is perfect. If you try to live the ideals of the Sermon on the Mount in your own strength, it will crush you to an eternity apart from Christ. But the right way to approach the Sermon on the Mount is the humble posture of saying, I am a beggar before Almighty God, the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I am morally bankrupt. I am spiritually bankrupt. I have nothing to offer to God. I have nothing to credit to God. Even my good works are tainted with sin because there's something of selfishness in them. And therefore, I come to God with a humble posture and dependence on His almighty grace to accomplish in me and through me what I can never accomplish. That is the proper way to think of the Sermon on the Mount. As beggars, to receive God's grace to do that, to be that which is impossible. And so when we come to Matthew 7, 7 through 11, Jesus' point is this. This is the attitude of prayer to someone who has the right attitude in their relationship with God. Jesus commands in the Sermon on the Mount, you are not to go around condemning people as if you're their judges. You're not to go around retaliating evil to those who do you wrong. You're to be meek. You're to be gentle. You're to be sincere. You're to be loving. Impossible to do in and of ourselves in our own strength. Therefore, Jesus says, you must come to God to ask Him to make you loving, to ask Him to make you sincere, to ask Him to develop Christ-like character, so that you're patient, so that you do to others as Jesus Christ has done to you. You are not to seek these virtues in your own strength, but by coming to God in prayer for the means of grace to grow in the character of Christ. When Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock, He is not saying, look, if you just pray with faith and persistence, I'll give you anything you want. I'm just your bellhop. Name it and claim it. That's not scriptural at all. God is not a glorified slot machine. And if I press the lever hard enough with my own faith and persistence, He'll give me anything I want. The Lord Jesus Christ is teaching here that prayer is humbly recognizing how much we need God, how much we need to draw near to God. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. James tells us, and prayer is drawing near to God for growth in Christ-like character. So, 3 points. The problem, the persistence of prayer, and what kind of posture ought we to have? Okay, the problem. Look at verses 7 and 8. And Jesus' language is compelling because these verbs, ask, seek, and knock, which are commands, have an ascending intensity to them. Ask means that you have a conscious need and you come before God with that need. Ask was also a word used in humility to ask a superior for help. So a conscious need before God. Oh, how much I need God's cleansing, because I come so short of the fruit of the Spirit. And I need God's love and grace in my life more and more to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. And then he says, seek. Now, seek involves asking, but it emphasizes action. The word emphasizes that we express our needs consciously before God, our spiritual needs, and then what we do is we're looking. We're looking for God's help. We're expecting God's help. We're actively engaged in a personal relationship with God in which we persistently ask Him to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Okay, and then ask, seek, and knock. Knocking includes asking, conscious need. It also includes action, and it includes persistence, as if you're pounding on a door, asking God to work in your life and the lives of your brothers and sisters in a mighty way. So those three are involved, and they're imperatives. Now, what does that mean, they're imperatives? Means this. In the New Testament, there was what was called a simple past imperative. Shut the door. That's not what these verbs are. These verbs are continuing imperatives. What Jesus said literally was, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And God will answer your prayers. Now, what are the problems of prayer? Well, one is unrequested prayer, when we don't pray. James says in James chapter 4, verse 2, the reason you don't have what you need is that you're not asking God. You do not pray. So Jesus says, asking, keep on asking, seeking, knocking. Keep on praying. That's the answer to unasked prayer. God, give me the grace to keep on praying. James says, you do not have because you do not ask. In Jeremiah chapter 33:3, we read, God says, call on me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't even know. We read in Psalm 138:3-4, David says, I was tired, I was weary, but I called out to God and he gave me strength of soul. So we are to keep on asking God in prayer for that which we need, for that which our brothers and sisters in Christ need. We are to respond to the problem of unoffered prayer by seeking God constantly and continually. We are to pray in times of danger, that our faith would not dwindle, but that we would cling to God. We are to pray in times of prosperity, lest our hearts become boastful and proud. We are to pray in times of security, lest our hearts think that we have accomplished the security. We are to pray in terms of guilt, going to the Lord Jesus Christ and pleading his blood and his mercy. God wants to load our lives with the fruit of the Spirit, but he calls us to seek him for the fruit of the Spirit, and he will give it to us. That's his promise. Then there's the problem of unanswered prayer. You know, sometimes we're praying for something, maybe a job, maybe a circumstance in life, maybe a situation with a loved one. And God does not answer our prayer the way we prayed. He answers it differently, but much better. Amen? The Bible says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us according to God's will. You know, and there are times when we may pray and the Holy Spirit intercedes. And we're praying and the Holy Spirit, who is taking our prayers to the Father, says, do not give Jerry or Marlene what they ask for, Father, but give them what they need. And so God answers in a way different than we prayed for, but much better, because God never makes mistakes. He's sovereign. Then there may be delays in our prayer request. God delays. He says, wait. We read in Isaiah 38, God longs to rise with compassion, and he waits to be gracious to you. So Jeremiah 33:3 says, God says, pray to me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you didn't even know about. And Isaiah 38 says, God, or 18, God says, I'll show you great and mighty things, but I'm going to test your faith and demonstrate I'm God, you're not, by causing you to wait so I can be gracious to you. And then there are times God says no. He doesn't just answer the prayer in a way that's different than we expect. He doesn't just say wait, he says no. Because God's plans are much greater than our plans. And you know, even when God says no, it is because God is good. And he's saying to us, I have the best plans. I have perfect plans. Because trust in the sovereignty of God is an acknowledgement that God is unceasingly, perfectly faithful and good in the story of the history of our lives, working out his will in his way. And when God says no, and we pray surrendering to God, our prayer has still been fruitful, because we've come before Almighty God, and he will give us the grace to accept his no, so that we may move on with doing his will. So there are the problems of prayer. What about the persistence of prayer? Sometimes prayers are not answered the way we want, in accordance with our timetable, our desires. Does this mean the promises of God are wrong? Does this mean God is not a prayer-answering God? Well, let me ask you a question. Let's say you go into your living room and you turn the switch on and the light goes on. Would you conclude that the doctrine of electricity has failed? It doesn't, there's no such thing. Absolutely not. Would you say the electrician has failed? No, he fixed it. What you would do is look at what may be wrong in our lives. Did I pay the electrical bill? Is there a breaker out? If you have an electrical problem with the switch, you don't turn away from the electrician, you turn towards him. Jesus says there are things that must be in our lives in order for God to be answering prayer. We must persist in the name of Jesus Christ. In other words, what does that mean in the name? It means that we are to bring our request before Almighty God, having trusted in the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ alone. When we pray, God only hears the prayers. God only binds himself to hear the prayers of those who have repented of their sin and trusted in the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ alone. We have confidence before God because we come in the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." He didn't say, if you pray in the name of Allah, I'll hear you. You pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names, the only name by which we have access to God. If we're lost in a neighborhood, and, you know, we've been on a long walk, and let's say we got lost, and we see somebody walking around who happens to live in the neighborhood, we ask them, "Hey, I lost my way, can you redirect me to get home?" And they say, "I can, but it's really complicated, and it's going to take you a long time to get home walking." And then they say to us, "But you know what, I'll take you home." You know, at that point, they're not just pointing the way, they are the way. Jesus Christ not only points the way to salvation, Jesus Christ is your only way to access to God, because he came into this world and shed his precious blood to redeem us from our sin. And when we come in the name of Jesus, we come in his authority. We come as his agent. We come on his behalf. And we come to say, pray, "Lord, glorify yourself. Glorify yourself." That's my deepest desire. Now, Jesus speaks of persistence here. He says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Do you know there's a parallel passage in Luke 11, verses 5 through 9, in which Jesus tells this story. He's speaking of, it's the same, basically the same word for word. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. But what you don't have in Matthew is this story Jesus told. It's a mini story. Starting at verse 5 of Luke 11, and he said to them, "Which of you as a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence," another word for that would be persistence, "he will rise and give him whatever he needs." Now, here's the situation. In this culture, hospitality was everything. So if somebody came to your house knocking on the door at midnight in that culture, You didn't say, go down to the mini mart and you can get some bread. Go down to Walmart. You can get some bread there too. Or go to Woodman's. It was the responsibility of the person to provide bread for this person who came from a distance and was knocking on the door at midnight. So this man is in a bind. And he obviously doesn't want to get up. He wants to stay in bed. And so he winds up answering the request of this friend of his who comes knocking. I need bread. I don't have anywhere to go. And I have a person who's come from a distance. The demands of hospitality are binding on me. Well, this man's in bed with his children. His family, he doesn't want to get up. This is a reasonable request at an unreasonable hour. And Jesus says the man keeps, this neighbor keeps knocking and knocking and knocking, and the neighbor of whose door he's knocking gets up, not because of friendship, but because he wants him off his back. He wants to get back to sleep. In this passage, verse 7, there's a fourfold denial. There's four reasons he says no. They're all poor excuses. My children are in bed. Well, they're in bed. You can tuck them in again. The door's closed. Doors are meant to be open. And Jesus' point is, pray passionately, pray persistently for what you need. And let me apply this. For the needs, the spiritual need of the Holy Spirit's power in restoring, renewing, transforming our lives so that we would be faithful and bold in our witness for Christ, so that we would stand for the truth against all odds, so that unsaved loved ones would be brought to a saving knowledge of Christ. Persist in prayer, passionately persisting before Almighty God. Because Jesus' point is, God isn't at all like this neighbor. God is good and gracious beyond all imagining. Pray, Lord God, you've created my loved one in your own image. Lord God, I believe that you, in your grace, came in the person of your Son to redeem them. Oh, Lord, I pray that like the Apostle Paul, whom you hunted down, where one moment he hated you and the next moment he loved you, that you will change my unsaved loved one's heart. True, God can deny it. But God is honored when we come to him in boldness with large requests, because it demonstrates we have a great God who we trust. Heavenly Father, pray. I ask and seek and knock that you would give me a pure heart. Persist in that. Knock out of my life my unforgiving spirit, my condemning and critical spirit. We can be sure God will answer such a prayer if we come with sincere, persistent prayer before Almighty God. And then last, the posture. What does Jesus say? Or which of you, verse 9, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So face the problems of prayer trusting God. Be persistent in your prayers to Almighty God. And then Jesus says, not only be persistent, have a posture of confidence in God. These verses 9 through 11 shout assurance. If we persistently, trustingly ask for spiritual growth and surrender our wills to God's will, God will answer our prayers for the spiritual growth in our lives and the lives of those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, those in our families. Jesus assures us this with rich illustration of earthly fatherhood. Now, in my research, what I discovered is that along the Sea of Galilee, the stones there are flat that look just like the round, flat cakes, bread they ate. And the fish look like snakes. Jesus is drawing on that because he's speaking these words by the Sea of Galilee. And so what Jesus is saying is similar to this. If our children hunger for bread, if you don't have a child, if someone hungers for bread, are you going to say to them, here, eat this, mockingly, and you give them a stone that they crack their teeth on? And then you say, oh, I see you don't like that. Here's a snake that will harm you. I'll give you that. That's unimaginable that anyone who names the name of Christ would ever do something like that. And here we are, imperfect sinners. How much more will God in heaven give that which is good to those who love him? We have a God who is lavish and generous beyond our imaginings. And so Jesus uses an argument here from lesser to greater. If we who are imperfect, flawed sinners, we who rebel against God Almighty, will give that which is good to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father, who is perfect beyond all imaginings, intercede in our lives in order to give that which is good to us? And Jesus declares that God will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. See, what a gracious, good God we have is our posture of confidence in God. We come to a Father who delights in proving his glory by answering our prayers. So I would ask us all, and including myself, that we would ask the Lord to show us the fruit of the Spirit that we lack, that we would persistently pray for the fruit of the Spirit we lack, and that we would confidently believe that God will give us the fruit of the Spirit we lack as we surrender our wills to the will of our Father. God will always give that which is most needful and good to his children as we delight in going to him in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your almighty grace, you have given us the privilege of prayer. Lord, thank you that you are our Heavenly Father who loves us beyond measure through the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus, that you delight in us and rejoice over us with singing because of our union with the Lord Jesus. We pray, our Father, that you would enable us to be people of prayer, people who depend and sense their need for your grace, your sovereign grace, so that we would seek to cultivate a closer relationship with you in prayer. May we seek the welfare of our brothers and sisters by praying for their growth in you in prayer. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.